Virginia and Texas Tech next weekend. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root, the conservative warrior. My show, War Now, airs every day right here on USA Radio from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm also the star of the Wayne Allyn Root Show on Newsmax TV, reaching over 50 million homes. But my favorite role is speaker extraordinaire. I was opening speaker at many Donald Trump for President events. I speak at Republican, conservative, and college GOP events, and I'm available to be the star at your next event. Contact me to arrange for a Wayne Root keynote speech. Call toll-free 888-444-ROOT. That's 888-444-ROOT. Or email wayneroot@gmail.com.
A man is on life support suffering from injuries after being attacked at the L.A. Dodgers game. 45-year-old Rafael Reyna was beat up after an argument in the stadium parking lot. His wife was distraught.
I shouldn't have to go through this. I shouldn't have to be dealing with this. Whoever did this to him is out there having his life, and my husband's in here fighting for his.
So far, no arrests have been made. Democrat Joe Biden has always been a touchy-feely kind of guy. But he denies ever being inappropriate. Here's more from USA's Rick Vincent.
Former Nevada politician Lucy Flores, a Democrat, appeared on CNN's State of the Union to talk about her recent claims that former Vice President Joe Biden made her uncomfortable by kissing her in 2014.
I felt powerless. I felt like I couldn't move. I just didn't even know how to process it. My bigger point that I've been making is that in these power dynamic situations, and women are subjected to this in the political setting, but in work settings all the time, you just kind of process it and then you move on because you have a job to do. What do you say? There just isn't really a mechanism to deal with it.
In a statement released Sunday by the former vice president, Biden said, quote, "In my many years on the campaign trail and in public life, I have offered countless handshakes, hugs, expressions of affection, support, and comfort, and not once, never, did I believe I acted inappropriately. If it is suggested I did so, I will listen respectfully, but it was never my intention," unquote. For USA Radio News, I'm Rick Vincent.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
That local weather here at HuntertonChamberRadio.com, outside our studio, 36 degrees right now. Nice and sunny, a little cool, but the high will be up in the upper to mid-40s today. Back down into the 20s tonight. Sunny again Tuesday, high in the 50s. Chance of rain Tuesday night, mainly before 2 a.m., at least around here, 30% chance. Sunny on Wednesday, high in the 60s. Warming up down into the upper 30s Wednesday night. Again, Thursday, partly sunny, high near 56. A little chance of precip going into Thursday night and into Friday. Friday, rain likely, otherwise cloudy, high near 54, showers likely Friday night, and clear on the weekend, highs in the 60s and low in the 40s. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterton Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterton-chamber.org.
Hey, welcome to Chef Bill's Table. Your host, Bill Kinslow, chef here at Jake's in Flemington, New Jersey. Been around for about 28 years here in this location. And we're getting together again at the Chamber office to talk about food. Celebration is Easter on the horizon. In springtime, the menus will start changing, specials. Trying to get the spring vegetables in, the product. Of course, Easter is a big feast for many people, or could be even any kind of spring celebration, if you like. For Roman Catholics, of course, the apex of the calendar year, liturgical calendar. And normally, I mean, we, you know, again, there's a lot of commercialization that's gone on with it, but we still like to celebrate. And it's nice, again, to get together for family. It's a pretty good restaurant day. A lot of people, you know, may want to take the full day off and not cook at all, although a nice brunch is always nice for Easter. Or roast. And we'll, over the next couple of sessions here, we'll explore some possibilities. This week, of course, think of springtime, but it seems to be any time now. Eggs are everywhere. I guess they're good again. I know for a while the cholesterol police had us trying to stay away from them, and now they're good again. But I think, you know, it's back and forth. Just many foods for 4 or 5 years are good for you, then they're not good for you. Somebody comes out with a study saying otherwise. It's a near perfect food, and it's used across all parts of cooking. I mean, you're hard pressed to bakers, especially if you're trying not to use eggs. Very, very difficult to do much of any kind of baking without eggs. And of course, you know, useful in think of many sauces from the elegant hollandaise, mayonnaise, of course, flavored mayonnaises, aiolis. You know, everything needs an egg yolk, right? And these cold sauces are everywhere. No shortage of some kind of, whether it's with chilies or vegetable purees or herbs, anything, you know, we like them for dips, for salad dressings. It's very difficult to do without eggs. And nutritionally, though, eggs are near perfect food also. And that's back when we were wanderers and more of a nomadic lifestyle. Of course, the pantry, the roving pantry, where your chickens, your goats, or sheep, you know, you got milk from some animals and eggs from others. Or even when we, you know, finally went to the living on the farms, domesticating crops, still had the animals, and you never didn't eat the chicken too much. You didn't want to stop the egg process, right? We needed the eggs you could eat all the time. And we like to, a day like Easter, of course, we have the Easter eggs, a symbol of new life. You got the hard-boiled eggs, the decorated eggs. So brunch seems like a good idea, or at least fit eggs somewhere into your menu on Easter. Like I said, versatile. You can have them any meal, breakfast, lunch, dinner. One of our favorite, I know for my family, one of our favorite dinners was sometimes you just want some nice, soft, scrambled eggs, hotel eggs, or a nice omelet or a frittata. On menus now, the soft-cooked egg, sunny-side-up egg, you see, especially other cuisines, some of the bowls or soups, different cultures, you'll have the part of the protein component will be a soft-cooked egg. Sometimes they're just a fried sunny-side-up egg, oftentimes just a what we'd call a coddled or a soft-boiled egg, or one that's even peeled, you know, medium-boiled, not quite full runny yolk, but a little bit undercooked. What was it, the egg... I think an egg salad sandwich a few weeks ago in the Times, the author offered that combination of the hard-cooked egg plus a some that were just a little bit undercooked. I know growing up, our breakfast, egg in the cup, it was a soft-boiled egg. We had our cup. Some of them, a former neighbor had made. She was a potter, and she had us all. We all had our egg cups with her name on them. But you'd saw off the top of the egg, and you had the little toast sticks, and you've got the nice runny yolk, and then you eat the white, and you've got your egg every morning. You know, it's easy to cook. You can cook a batch of them, leave them sitting. They don't have to be hot right out of the pot there, but we would just make our toast and line up, get our egg, and go for it. Nice way to start the day. And we'll talk today about cooking eggs in quantity, too, especially if you've got a large group. Sometimes it's difficult. You know, the old short order cooks, the diners, right? These guys that could do everything on that flat top griddle. You'd have eggs on one side and potatoes and cooking a hamburger on the other side and, you know, some fried vegetables somewhere else. And they all had different temperatures and well-seasoned and just masters of the of cooking, the old short-order cooks, lost art nowadays. But we'll get into, first, you know, like with anything, eggs are relatively, well, we think they're simple to cook. How can you mess up an egg? Well, let me tell you, there's many ways. When I taught culinary classes, handling proteins, I always like to go over eggs first with the students. Pretty inexpensive way to experiment. The proteins, as they set up, get firmer. If you want to train yourself on how to test doneness of meats by touching, an egg is perfect for that because the yolk, as it gets more well done, gets nice and firm. From being soft, an over-easy egg, nice, well, that would be your rare. And then as it firms up, and it doesn't take long for the yolk to firm up, and then just that little pressure there, that resistance that you feel helps you apply the same thing to other proteins. So we like to start off with the eggs. Again, it's not a big investment. You can always eat them no matter what, even if you overcook them a little bit. And it's good practice. So we've got to figure out, we've got to buy our eggs. What size do we use? Are fresh eggs always the best? Well, we'll find out. Maybe not for all applications. We're going to break for a couple of messages here. And we'll come back and start looking at basic techniques, as simple as they might seem when you're cooking egg. They deserve respect, even though they're not expensive food, still your best source of protein out there. But really, following the right technique will give you superior results, and you'll enjoy eating eggs more. Chef Bill's Table.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Table here, so time for the eggs, right? So first of all, just sizing on eggs briefly. You all see medium, large, extra large, jumbo. They translate into a weight per dozen. So your jumbo eggs would be 30 ounces per dozen eggs. Extra large, around 27 ounces. Your large eggs, which are your most common one in recipes, especially baking, the 24 ounces for a dozen, that means each egg is about 2 ounces, which really helps with measuring equivalencies. You know, 2 eggs is 4 ounces, so that's, you know, a quarter cup or a half a cup, 4 ounces. 1 egg is a quarter cup, 2 ounces, a cup is 8 ounces. Your medium's 18. Sometimes the you can almost, if you, they don't really do it for you. You could kind of figure the price per pound. If you're using eggs in baking, and normally they're weighed out instead of measured by egg, all ingredients in baking, normally weight is a more accurate measurement than volume. Sometimes if you're using a lot of what we call pooled eggs, meaning broke, you know, cracked, beaten eggs, your mediums might be a better buy for the 18 ounces, but you to calculate the price per pound, and you can figure that out. Sometimes the jumbos, you get double yolkers in there, which were always kind of a treat. But again, large, commonly used in recipes, you can usually pretty much assume that unless the recipe calls for something different. Some may say an extra large, which is fine, but then, you know, make sure that that's what you're using. Now, fresh, obviously, like all the TV chefs say, check your expiration date. Eggs usually, you know, last a fairly long time, but what happens is they do go through a little bit of a change. If you're using your eggs for fried eggs especially, or poached eggs, you need that white, that protein that surrounds the yolk is very, very thick. It's, of course, to cushion the yolk in transport, you know, bouncing around and whatever, you know, in the basket or anywhere. But it kind of protects the yolk, keeps it centered in the middle of the egg. As the egg gets older, that protein thins out. And if you've ever cracked an egg that, you know, maybe it was a little older, it just kind of, if you're making a, say, a sunny side up egg or even a poached egg, put it in the water and the the white just kind of goes everywhere. It runs, it's real watery. And this is what happens with the older eggs. But those older egg whites that thin out a little bit are much better for making a meringue. If you're separating the eggs, you're whipping the egg whites with sugar, or if you're making a souffle, the older egg white is better. Also for hard-boiled eggs, to peel them, eggs that are a few days old are easier to peel than very, very fresh eggs. So, again, you know, depending on your use, you will use either very fresh eggs or eggs that have a little age to them. Now, usually we keep eggs refrigerated. Back years ago, I mean, a place especially that did a lot of breakfast, if you were getting eggs delivered every day, they never had time to make the refrigerator. They were room temperature. And part of that reason is because when you are using eggs for anything, baking or, you know, for breakfast, whatever, you're better off using a room temperature egg. If you're boiling an egg, the shell won't crack prematurely as easily. Just for ease in when you're whipping eggs to get a high volume, you need them at room temperature. And, of course, a lot of people in the morning for breakfast don't, you don't leave your egg out overnight, which, you know, you could. It wouldn't hurt it if you're going to use, as long as you know you're going to use it right away. But if you're boiling an egg and it's cold right out of the refrigerator, the wide part of the egg in the bottom, there is kind of a little air pocket there. With a needle, you can put a small hole in that, and that will keep that shell from cracking. If you think of those egg poaching machines that you could buy, they ran on steam, and a certain amount of water would evaporate with creating steam, and that would time the eggs. And actually, those work pretty well. But those always had a little pin on there. You would punch the hole in the bottom of the egg and put them in a little rack. And then depending on how many eggs, you put X amount of tablespoons of water in there. The thing would heat up. When the water was evaporated, it would shut off, and the eggs would be done. And they say I used those years ago, and they're pretty accurate. Also for poaching eggs, a lot of people, you know, what we call poached eggs are really eggs uncocotte, C-O-C-O-T-T-E, in a container. You could have a ramekin or those little four or six section little holders there that you put a little butter in and put it over the water bath and kind of steam the egg. And those are what a lot of people, you know, at home would call a poached egg. It's not really. Poached egg is directly into the water. And, again, you want very fresh eggs for that. And there's a nice technique we'll go over for getting those to be nice and football shape. You want that white to enclose the yolk in a nice, even shape. That's where, you need very, very fresh eggs for that, so the white's nice and thick. So we've bought our eggs, make sure they're fresh or they're a few days old. My rule of thumb was one day out of refrigeration was like a week in refrigeration. So if you're going to make some, you want to make some deviled eggs or you want hard-boiled eggs you're going to peel, if the egg is, you know, 4, 5, 6 days old, that's probably enough age on it so they would peel well. Or if they're very fresh, I'd say just leave them out overnight. Cook them from room temperature, and you'll be fine. Another way to check eggs, let's say you have them in a holder, you don't have the date on there, you're not sure. If an egg floats in regular water, it's pretty close to the end. That's one way you can check. If you know an egg's really not good and you don't have... You don't have the date on the container. Sometimes we transfer them from the carton they came in to that little egg holder in the door, and we forget to save the date. So for soft-boiled eggs or the egg in a cup, it's like you defer to your, I'll have a 3-minute egg, 4-minute egg, 5-minute egg. This is what they were. You were at a simmer. If you're putting the eggs in cold, obviously, again, put that little needle hole in the bottom of them. But you don't really want a hard boil when you're cooking eggs, whether you're soft boiling them or poaching them or hard boiling them. You don't need that water blasting away. You just want it to be simmering, just where the bubbles are breaking the surface. So 3 minutes for your standard large egg, and then you can set them off to the side, let them rest for a minute or so, and we'll just slice off the top of the egg. It's in a cup. And then you can spoon it out, dip your toast sticks or whatever. Now, if you want a coddled egg, sometimes you'll see eggs that are boiled. They're still a little bit soft, but they're peeled. So for those, they're going to be that 5 to 6 minute egg, somewhere around there. Not going to be a real, real runny yolk, but you would then cool them in cold water. It doesn't have to be ice water. You don't have to shock them. Just cool water till they're cool enough to handle, and then you can carefully peel them. Now for hard-boiled, and again, we want these to be a few days old. I always like to start with cold water, and that way I don't have to worry about the shells cracking prematurely. Bring them to the boil, and you'll see many techniques for this. Some people say, oh, bring it to a boil, then just set them aside and let them sit for 12 or 15 minutes. Really, it's about between 10 and 12 minutes of simmering. If you're doing a large batch, I always, you know, you have one sacrificial egg there, right? You have to, you take one and lop it in half there just to make sure the yolk is done if you need the hard-cooked yolk. The reason you don't want to cook too long, because some people say, just let it go for a while, I'll make sure. What will happen, that little reaction will happen between the yolk and the white, the sulfur, you'll get that little green coloring there, and that's not that appetizing. It's not going to hurt you, but it doesn't make for a nice presentation when you have a sliced egg or a deviled egg, a stuffed egg. So boiling them still takes, you know, a little bit of attention. Now, once they're cooked, of course, I drain the hot water and then cool them off. Cold water, just slow-running water is fine. And then I'll take either in a colander or in the pot itself and lightly toss the eggs around, and they'll just gently crack the shells. It'll look like the shells won't come off right away. What happens is make sure that they're all gently cracked around. It'll be, look kind of, you can kind of even feel them, make sure that all the surface is cracked. And then fill the pot back up with water again and let them sit in that water. What happens is that kind of that water will kind of work its way between the shell and the egg white. So when you go to peel them, actually all you always have to do is almost kind of squeeze the eggs gently and the shell should slide right off. Again, not real, real fresh eggs is the best way to use this technique. I know we had to make tons of hors d'oeuvre in the Lake Placid Club. This is the technique that Gard Manger showed me. He starts tossing them in the colander, puts them back in the water, and then grabs an egg in each hand and just kind of pops the egg right out of the shell. Fast, easy way to do it. So with the boiled eggs, we don't need anything in the water. Poaching eggs is different, and that poach is probably the one that we like to think of for brunch, the Eggs Benedict. Or we're going to do a simple, nice spring recipe in a little bit using poached eggs. Poaching, we want, again, very fresh eggs, so the white stays around the yolk in a nice shape. Your water, add a little bit of white vinegar to it. You want a little bit of acid in that water so to keep the white nice and firm. You don't want it to pickle the egg, but, a teaspoon to a tablespoon, depending on how much water. You've got a small saucepan of water. You need at least 2 inches deep. What I like to do is get the water kind of swirling around in a circle. I call it the vortex. And slide the eggs in, and that kind of wraps the white around the yolk. Always break your eggs into a dish before. I don't crack them directly into the water. A couple of reasons. You know, if a shell goes in there, but if the egg yolk breaks, then it's going to break in the water. That's going to be kind of a mess. If you're cracking eggs for poaching or for frying and the yolk breaks, you know, if you don't want to use it, then you keep it for something else, for scrambled eggs or egg wash, anything like that. But poaching the eggs, there's a way to do it in quantity. If you're doing, if you're doing Eggs Benedict or poached eggs for a group, again, in hotels we would do this. We would poach them ahead and set them in cold water to stop cooking. You could have a couple of ice cubes in there, but you want to keep the water cold. And then you could reheat them. So your egg is soft cooked, poached, and chilled down, and then just back in the hot water when you need them. So you've got your pre-prep done. We just store the eggs in the water until you're ready to use them. We've got a break for news, and we'll come back and a couple of other techniques for cooking eggs, and then we'll get into a couple of simple recipes. Also, I'd like to talk a little bit about lamb. Also, you know, we've got a nice Easter dinner coming, so if we have time, we'll discuss a little bit about lamb also. Chef Bill's Take.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The FAA calls it a short-lived system-wide outage that struck major airlines this morning. Flights were stuck on the ground at airports nationwide. But at last check, the FAA said service was back and claims delays should be minimal. The FAA says a third-party vendor may have been to blame for the outage. Still threatening to close the southern border, President Trump's calling on Congress to address what he calls a crisis there. Tweeting this morning, quote, Democrats working with Republicans could fix the asylum and other loopholes quickly. His acting chief of staff, Mick Mulvaney, says with Democrats unwilling to be part of the solution, the president may have to close the border.
Faced with those limitations, the president will do everything he can. If closing the ports of entry mean that, that's exactly what he intends to do.
This is USA Radio News.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739. Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, Eddie Auto Pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Back at Chef Bill's Table here, WHCR-DB. So poaching eggs, again, for our Eggs Benedict, which would be the quintessential brunch offering, and many variations of that now, obviously, besides the original Canadian bacon, English muffin, the hollandaise, of course, there's many people put it on a crab cake, or fried green tomato, Could be a vegetable version, maybe chopped spinach. All kinds of variations on a theme. Smoked salmon, Benedict would be nice. And, of course, the Hollandaise, one of those wonders of sauces, right? You've got a nice poached egg with you're making with no fat, and then your sauce on top is, of course, egg yolks and butter, of all things. And that the magic of emulsion, they come together in a nice sauce with a little bit of lemon. Tricky sauce, not the most difficult. Again, it's temperature control. You have to really focus. There's a couple of ways, you know, over a double boiler. The blender is always an easy way to do it. Do you use whole butter? Do you use clarified butter? And I've done both. The clarified butter, without the milk solids in it, of course, you get a thicker sauce using the whole butter. What I'll do is make the Hollandaise, of course, temper the egg yolks. And I, of course, you do it enough times. You have a steel bowl, and I'll do it right over a low flame. I always put a splash of water in the egg yolks, and you have a nice balloon whisk, the thin wire whisk, not the heavy one that you use for making a roux. But you need the whisk, and whisk the yolks, and just hold the bowl over the low flame, but I'll kind of move it off and on the flame, so it's not really, you don't want to curdle or cook those egg yolks. Alternately, the safer way, of course, over a simmering water bath. And when those yolks get to be thick and like a custard, which would, say, coat the back of a spoon, that's when you start adding in your warm clarified butter. A little bit at first, just like making a mayonnaise. You're making an emulsion. Once that emulsion takes hold, then you can add the butter a little bit faster. Seasoning for that, classic, of course, salt and pepper, lemon juice, dry mustard, a little bit of cayenne if you like. You want to turn it into béarnaise sauce. Of course, we use the tarragon vinegar and fresh chopped tarragon and parsley and maybe some chervil in there. Or anything you want. But the Hollandaise, whether you do it over the water bath or with the blender with the whole butter. We used to make it off the heat sometimes for coating a cold poached salmon. So you would have the salmon was poached in a court bouillon. You'd skin it and trim it up, and it's all ready to glaze. We would make a Hollandaise sauce off the heat. So it's more like a mayonnaise type thing, and then put it on the cold salmon. And very rich accompaniment to that. But for buffet work, it was nice. It's kind of like a very rich mayonnaise, right? But something that would be the epitome of spring, asparagus. And, of course, we think of ham, but prosciutto would be another option. Poached eggs with asparagus could be a nice option for a main course. Could be a substantial first course. But for this, we need some nice French bread. And we need four slices of it cut really at an angle. So you want that nice, like if you're making avocado toast or anything, you want that oval shape of the French bread. You need a little bit of butter. Butter the bread. We're gonna griddle this bread in a pan, just like if you're making a grilled cheese sandwich. So you butter the bread, grill both sides, brown it up a little bit. You've got a few slices of prosciutto, or it could be Serrano ham. It could be even a regular ham sliced very, very thin. If you can't get prosciutto or don't like it, or if you want the smoky flavor, by all means, a nice, a good country ham would be okay. The prosciutto is nice. You need 12 nice spears of asparagus. And for that, of course, we snap the asparagus where meets some resistance. Usually about the bottom third of the stalk, depending. Alternately, you can peel the asparagus, and you'll be able to use a little bit more of the stalk this way. Either way, we'd like to blanch it just a few minutes in boiling water or steam it, and then you have it chilled down. So you want it a little bit crisp tender because we are going to cook this dish again. So you'll need poached eggs for this, a little salt and pepper, and some about two-thirds of a cup of grated Gruyere cheese or fontina. So what we've done is, you know, of course, with this you could have, you could serve two slices of the bread with the asparagus and prosciutto, put one poached egg on top, and then you're going to broil this. You're going to cover this with the grated cheese and then broil it just to melt the cheese. So you've got nice toast, asparagus, prosciutto, or ham, and poached egg. Italian version of this would be probably, you could do it another way. You could wrap the asparagus with prosciutto and broil that with the grated cheese and put a fried egg on top, or put a fried egg on top of just asparagus without the ham and the fresh Parmesan cheese and warm that up. Many ways to present this, but the asparagus and egg, we've done it before also, even with a use of hollandaise. Just nice, perfectly poached asparagus and a nice brioche or some kind of bread, buttered crouton, and then the hollandaise. So warm poached asparagus, hollandaise, great first course. Incorporates your taste of spring, asparagus and eggs, and a nice cured meat. Now, again, eggs in quantity, we talk about scrambled eggs or frittatas, baked omelets, one of the best ways to go for a crowd. Also, your shirred, what we call shirred eggs, S-H-I-R-R-E-D, or, again, like these eggs on cocotte that I mentioned before, baked eggs. You do them in ramekins or in like a shallow Welsh rarebit dish. You know, at the hotels, we used to do the shirred eggs when in a shallow, round vessel, china, and a little bit of butter in there, and crack the eggs and put them in the oven. Basically, you're broiling the fried eggs, but broiled. And there are many garnishes. Some people like to put a little bit of a dash of cream in there, to kind of baking the eggs with that little bit of cream. Doesn't brown them quite as much. Some folks like to put the ramekins in a water bath to slow down the cooking time a little bit. Again, with the rarebit dishes, we just used to put them right in the oven, or we'd start them on the flat top and then finish them under the broiler. But certainly for a crowd, you could use a deeper ramekin and bake them in the oven, 350. Might take 10 or 12 minutes. Use the water bath. That'll slow down the process a little bit, create some steam, and keep the eggs nice and tender. But the best for scrambled, of course, hotel eggs, my family likes the soft scrambled. You eat them with a spoon. You don't want those hard, rubbery, bouncy things. Eggs and a little bit of, my mother always put a tablespoon of milk for each egg. You don't want too much. You're going to make them a little bit too watery. So you're using large eggs. A little milk cream goes in there, or the French way is some butter. So you're going to use some butter to melt, to scramble the eggs, but also some cold chopped butter would go into the egg mixture. You could do that before you start scrambling, or what I've done sometimes is start to scramble when the eggs start to form a nice soft curd, then add in some whole butter. Kind of slows down the cooking process and makes it very rich. When we come back, we'll talk about another couple of omelet techniques here. Chef Bill's table.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Chef Bill's table here at WHCRDB. So, yeah, so for omelets, making individual omelets, of course, is, well, it should not be that time consuming. A lot of times people tend to overthink or overdo the omelets or overstuff them even too. And you watch, even a lot of cooks, they'll make the kind of like an egg pancake there and put the stuffing in, fold it over, and then put it under the broiler. And that's all well and good, but typically a nice rolled omelet should only take maybe a minute to a minute and a half, start to finish. You've got beaten egg. Usually put a splash of water in there to create some steam, a little salt and pepper. But use a sloping pan. You put the eggs in. Right away start stirring the egg. You're not really scrambling them, but you're softly kind of trying to get some of the, as much of that egg onto the hot surface as possible. Should be a little bit, it should almost look like a soft scrambled egg. And you put your filling in, and then you fold one third over and then the other third over, and then invert it onto the plate, the seam side down, and you've got a filled omelet. And again, it shouldn't take much longer than a minute. But if you want, if you need, and omelets, you can make ahead. I've done this even for as an hors d'oeuvre, small omelets. I would make actually little, use a tablespoon or a 1 ounce ladle, made little, basically egg crepes, seasoned egg, little salt, pepper, and little. I was using like a scallion cream cheese with these, and just make just like making a crepe, a thin pancake. Cook both sides and stack them up, and then roll them up later with a little dollop of flavored cream cheese inside. Roll them up, actually just make like making an egg roll, and then tie it with a blanched strip of scallion, the green there, and a nice little package. And then you can just warm these up a little bit and have them for an hors d'oeuvre. But you can, again, you could make omelets ahead. Another way for a group is a puffed omelet where you separate the eggs. If you say you've got, you know, three eggs, you separate, you've got your yolks and your whites, you'd whisk the yolks with a tablespoon of milk, and you would whip the whites till they're nice and fluffy, and then fold them together. You'll start this omelet in the pan. It's almost like a souffle, and finish it under the broiler, and then it's just like this nice, almost like a sponge cake. Then you can fold that over your filling, and it's a nice puffed omelet. My mother used to whip the eggs in a blender, get them nice and frothy, and similar. If you could, it's almost like a, you know, like a quick souffle. You could mix cheese in there or ham, anything you want, and then you're doing it in the pan. Like I say, you can flip it over. You can use an oven-proof pan, finish it in the oven. Kind of like a frittata, but fluffy, and you're not going to serve it open. You're going to fold it. This could also be the base for a sweet omelet. Say you like French toast, but you don't like toast. You don't want the bread in there. Simply make your puffed omelet and fold it, and then you could use similar toppings. You could use a nice, if you want your whipped cream, your nuts, or fruit, a nice fruit sauce, or some sautéed fruit. Use the omelet as the base, your puffed omelet, and then have your topping on there. And have, I guess you'd call it gluten-free French toast, right? Of course, a tortilla or a frittata. Frittata in Italian, tortilla would be in Spain. They're famous tapas. Ferran Adrià, famous chef, I was reading his book, and he did a nice technique. Usually the tortilla is some fried potatoes, sometimes with onions. And I've done these before, thin sliced potatoes. You fry them, and then you add egg to them, and it's basically like a potato egg cake, nice circle. You bake it, and that is one of the tapas that would be served room temperature. And I've done this before at parties with different vegetables, again, like a frittata, not necessarily served piping hot, but at room temperature, cut into triangles, wedges, or even squares if you like. This one, instead of frying the potatoes, he used potato chips. And I've actually done this, so it works. And the best potato chips are, of course, a kettle-cooked one because they're sliced a little bit thicker. You don't need any fancy, flavorings or anything like that. Just a good kettle-cooked chip. So four large eggs, 2 ounces of these potato chips, and you crush them up. 2 tablespoons of, you use a serrano or a diced prosciutto or a ham. 2 tablespoons of piquillo peppers, which are nice, sweet little roasted peppers. You could use roasted pepper or anything, or eliminate them if you want. I've made this omelet just with the potato chips. You know, if you like the onion flavor, I suppose you could use a sour cream chive potato chip, right? But anyway, you take 2 of the eggs and beat them, and you soak the chips in these 2 beaten eggs for about 5 minutes, and you beat the other 2 eggs, add a little of your pepper and your, mix everything together, your ham and your peppers if you like. And all you need is about a teaspoon of olive oil in the pan. Get it hot and pour this whole egg potato chip mixture in there. let it bake on the stovetop till it's set, and then you could either flip it or slide it onto a plate and invert it, or finish it in the oven or the broiler and have a nice tortilla or Spanish frittata, if you will. Could be cut, again, into triangles for an hors d'oeuvre, or if you want to make them individually. But this using the chips was pretty, even guys said, why should I? I'm going to fry these potatoes crispy. Why don't I just use a potato chip? So it does work. And say if you have, especially if you have the shrapnel at the bottom of the bag, would be a good use for that. Sometimes you have a lot of crushed chips there. And it does, it adds the salt to the thing. But you've got that texture and that flavor of the potato kind of running through the tortilla. Of course, don't forget quiches, always our favorite. They've come back in style. We have guests ask for them once in a while. If you're making a quiche, two important things to remember. Blind bake your crust first. We don't like that crust too soggy. Blind baking means you're going to line it with either the pie weights or rice or dried beans and a piece of parchment paper, and bake it so the crust is browned, lightly browned, and it won't soak up the custard too much. And then the strength of the custard. The proportion we always used was 10 eggs to a quart of light cream. Light cream meaning something like half and half. You don't need heavy cream. That's a little bit too rich, but light cream or half and half. 10 eggs to a quart gives you a custard that's not going to weep. It's got enough egg in there, the protein, the strength, but it's not so strong that it's just like a plain omelet. So next week, well, we'll save our lamb for next week. Next week, lamb and ham, two products you can probably buy locally, too, if you're into that. Two products, especially in New Jersey. There's a lot of farms out there that have pasture-raised lamb, and they've got they're curing their own ham. So we'll explore that next week, Chef Bill's Table.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Former Vice President and likely White House hopeful Joe Biden says he has never knowingly engaged in any sexual misconduct or inappropriate behavior with women. But a Nevada legislator, Lucy Flores, says she did not have any sort of personal relationship with Biden that would have justified his alleged behavior in 2014, just before the two of them walked out on stage at a Democratic campaign rally. She claims that Biden put his hands on her shoulders and then from behind kissed the back of her head.
In this situation, it was unwanted. It was shocking because of the power difference. Context is also important here.
Anecdotal evidence claims otherwise, but the FAA says a system-wide outage that grounded flights across the nation earlier has not caused any residual delays. USA Radio News.
Pros know doing it right means getting more bang for your buck, because putting more toward your bottom line is good for business. Lowe's does it right with savings on the brands you trust during our Stock the Shop event, like DeWalt, Irwin, Bostitch, and more. Now save $50 on a DeWalt 20-volt max two-tool combo kit, including a drill, impact driver, charger, and two batteries for just $179. Find even more great deals during our Spring Black Friday sale going on now. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offer valid through 4/7. See store for details, U.S. only.
Let's have a chat about your debit card, the card you use for the things you buy every day. What if you could get cash back every time you bought those things Well, now you can. Introducing Discover Cashback Debit. Just open a Discover bank account and start earning 1% cash back on up to $3,000 in debit card purchases every month automatically. Plus, there are no monthly fees or minimum balances. Now you can get cash back on the way you like to pay. Open a Discover bank account and get the debit card with cash back. Go to discoverbank.com/debit. Limitations apply. Excludes money market accounts. Discover Bank member FDIC.
The president's still threatening to close the southern border with Mexico if it doesn't crack down on migrant caravans that are heading up north through Mexico towards the U.S. border from Central America. Meanwhile, Homeland Security Chief Kirstjen Nielsen is sending more agents to the border. A statement just released says she'll deploy 750 U.S. Customs personnel, arguing